Sport Lions Club and St. Mark Church present a free health fair in honor of Dr. Norman and Jean Carlson, Saturday, August 23rd, 8:30 till noon. That'll be in the St. Mark Family Life Center. Northport citizens can get free eye, hearing, and blood pressure screenings, diabetes testing, and more. Now, the first 100 people get a free biscuit and free Domino's pizza slices will be served at 11, along with free snow cones and drinks from Buffalo Rock. Sponsors include Alabama Lions Psych, Ascent Audiology, DCEH Regional Medical Center, West Alabama Food Bank, Special Olympics, Northport Police Department, U of A Institute for Rural Health, the Alabama Department of Public Health, and others. A Northport Fire Department truck will be on site, and there will be lots of fun kids' activities. The Northport Lions St. Mark Health Fair. See you Saturday, August.
I used to know every word of that song.
This is the Joe Gaither Show.
Really?
On BamaCentral.com. Wait,
when I was angry.
That doesn't surprise.
Good morning, Tuscaloosa. Internet world, West Alabama. How we doing today on a Monday? It's the last Monday of July. Cannot wait to get August rolling. I'm here in the Derek Daniels State Farm Studios with our friend Theo Fernandez, back and better than ever, back from the beach. You do a little mullet toss down in Orange Beach this past weekend, Pensacola, wherever you were. Parts unknown beach is where you were. We appreciate Theo being in the Derek Daniels State Farm Studios. You can call today at 205-758-3391 if you want to call Derek Daniel for all of your insurance needs. You can call us at 205-462-7340, extension 800. You want to leave us a voicemail, get you ready for football season. We are going to talk all kinds of football right here on the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central. You're watching us on the Bama Central YouTube channel. You're checking us out on Apple Podcasts, Amazon, Spotify, everywhere you get your podcasts. That's where you're finding the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central. You're sending it to friends. You're sharing it with all of your Alabama fan cohorts and all of your Auburn fan enemies, frenemies, especially if you are trying to poke some bears in your social circles. You can send it to your friends. Just making sure. All right. So we are right here in the Derek Daniels State Farm Studios. We're going to talk a little bit about Bear Fretwell. He committed on Friday to the Crimson Tide right in the middle of the day. So hope everybody enjoyed that. We'll talk about somebody who's – how tall are you, Theo?
I'm 6'2".
6'2". Bear Fretwell looks like he's listed at 6'7". That's scary. Massive man as a junior going into his senior year. This year for Southeast Bullock in Booklet, Georgia. So we're going to talk about him. We're going to talk about fall camp opening up. Last chances to talk big questions for fall camp. I at least have one question for you, Theo, to get into, and we'll kind of see where the conversation goes. But with that, follow Theo Fernandez at Theo Fernandez _. He's sitting catty corner today because of the lighting situation. He wanted to make sure he looked good for everybody on the stream and on the cameras. Theo, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Joe. And look, we are getting so close to football season, closer and closer, and I just feel the excitement start to build. I feel like the past couple shows, every single week, it's like, okay, we're a little closer. And there's just that mounting excitement that comes when, hey, next time we're in here, it'll be August. So
on Thursday, the Lions and Chargers played in the Hall of Fame game.
We don't have a week without football until February. We're back. We are back. And that is awesome.
You seeing all the people in the NFL getting in trouble for selling their Super Bowl tickets?
I mean, as a player, who wouldn't, right?
Right, and I saw some. This only sparked me because I saw Lions are playing in the Hall of Fame game. The one of the troll accounts that I follow, NFC North troll accounts, was like, Jahmyr Gibbs sold me Super Bowl tickets for $10,000, and I thought to myself, wait, I need to find out if that's real or not, and then I looked at And I was like, oh, you're just trying to get Jahmyr Gibbs suspended because you're a Vikings fan.
You know, I've heard or there was some struggles day one for your Bears, Joe.
Oh, my Ben gosh. Don't do this.
Yeah, I'm gonna make you do the instant react all preseason.
Yeah, I got a couple friends who are doing this in my text, and I'm telling them, calm down. It's fine. It's day one. It's day two. Now, day three apparently looked better, but I was like, day one and two, it's like new offense, new scheme, new everything, new head coach. It's fine. And they don't even practice. Like, they don't even practice. They don't even practice, not Bears specifically, but the NFL players, their practices are Charmin soft.
Yeah, it's fake.
Right. You practice harder in your high school practices. Our man Zay Hall, who we had in the studio on Friday, practices much harder at Hillcrest High School. The Alabama Crimson Tide, when they open up camp this week, will be practicing much harder than the NFL teams. And so how do you learn a scheme when you never, when your practice rules are like, yeah, you get 50 reps today, and you got to spread those 50 reps across 7-on-7, across 11-on-11, across red zone, across third down, across all kinds of just situational football. And, you practice everything two times. Of course you're going to mess some things up. So all my Bears fan friends are losing their minds over, oh, what's going to happen? I'm like, look, it's probably going to look awful until November.
Joe, you'd better believe that I'm reading every single update that's put out about the Giants.
Why?
That I'm reading. How'd Jackson Dart look today? What did Malik Nabers do? How did the New York Rush Hour, which is the name of our pass rush now, how are they doing? It's what I've done my whole life. And yes, I know. The Giants start out 0-4 just about every year. I know it won't matter. But you can't not. You have to get sucked into this. You have to go down that rabbit hole. And especially for me as a Giants fan with a rookie quarterback, you know what the hype was when you had Caleb Williams coming in.
The hype is still there with Caleb Williams.
We'll see if he lives up to it. I'm just glad we have football back. It's been way too long.
I saw, speaking of your Giants, I saw Cam Scadaboo wearing the Jackson Dart jersey out of the locker room tunnel, and the people going nuts for him, and Jackson behind him not wearing any jersey, and the people not going as nuts. And then they get to the practice field, swap jerseys, and they're like, wait a second. Wait a minute. That wasn't Jackson Dart.
Cam is a psychopath, man. He is. He's crazy. Like, every video we've seen of him around the team, he's going to give us the nastiest 600 yards as a rookie, and then he is going to be the most loved person in New York for a short period of time. Thank you, Everett. Much appreciated. I'm just ready for football.
Everett Osmer chiming in on the Facebook machine, and you can as well. Theo is the best, and we do agree. Theo is very, very good. Theo, you're about to be going into school. Are you ready for school? That's the real part here. I don't have classes. Are you ready to get back to school?
I've got a cupcake schedule this year. I've got
back to school. Yeah.
You know, like I think
back to school.
If Kurt Cignetti saw my course schedule, he would call me out for it. I'm taking all comm classes
to prove to Dad I'm not a fool. Billy Madison?
Nah, not familiar.
Oh my gosh. Did you watch the new Happy Gilmore?
I saw Josh Pate said it was horrible.
Yeah, very, very split reaction. Some people saying they love it, some people saying they hate it. I haven't seen it yet. But no, you're unfamiliar with Billy Madison?
I'm unfamiliar.
That's your homework this week. Adam Sandler, Billy Madison. Billy Madison basically is a trust fund baby, and Adam Sandler has no job. And what's the plot? How does it go? In order to inherit his dad's company, he's got to make sure he graduates high school, and he's just a dummy, basically. And ends up going to kindergarten, first grade, second grade. He does every grade 1 week, right? Is the premise. And his main rival, his dad's like, you know, chummy, evil businessman who's trying to take the company. They do some intellectual battle at the end. It's hilarious. It's classic.
I'll give that. I can enjoy just about any Adam Sandler movie.
Yeah, it's very, very funny. One of his early big hits. Back to school. back to school to prove to dad I'm not a fool.
Right. I'll understand that reference in a few days.
That's a great. That's Billy Madison is pee in your pants is cool.
You don't have me on that one.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So, well, you're just kind of gonna have to watch the movie.
I've got some homework.
Yeah. And it's fun. That'll be fun homework for you. Yeah. You'll enjoy that. It's funny. And you can probably find it on all the streaming services that there are. What you want to get into first? You want to get into Bear Fretwell, or do you want to get into Alabama camp? Theo Fernandez says it would have been better if Theo and Gaither were in it. maybe one day Adam Sandler will call me.
That's the goal, right? That's
the only
podcast
reason.
Without Adam Sandler.
That's the only reason we're wearing the glasses, so we catch Adam Sandler's attention.
I think we have a new goal and something new to shoot for. Let's start with Bear. You know, I remember seeing the news come out, and I saw AL.com post, and they had the simplest headline ever that kind of sums up perfectly. It's verbatim. Alabama football flips massive recruit named Bear. I mean, it doesn't get more to the point than that.
Who was that? Was that Matt or Nick?
Let's see. I'm going to guess it was.
It had to be Matt, right?
Yeah. No, it was Nick.
It was Nick. Okay.
All right. Yeah, that's Nick. Massive recruit named Bear. The dude is 6'7" at the age of probably 16. You're not done growing at that point. So I saw On3 posted a picture of him with the Alabama lineman. Very clearly the same exact height as Caden Proctor. Now he's not 6'6 and a half, not 6'6. He's 6'7 already.
From Southeast Bullock High School, playing in Brooklyn, Georgia, flips from Georgia Tech to Alabama. And honestly, I'm looking at him right now. I'm looking at his film right now. But over the weekend when I saw him, or when I saw the news, I thought, well, if he's coming from Georgia Tech, that's all you need to know. If Brent Key says, oh, I want this offensive lineman, then you should be excited about this. I know you see 3-star and you're all like, oh, blah, 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 not hyped up. But really, all you need to do is trust Brent Key's scouting evaluation. You know, Brent worked here, right?
Theo? Yes, I do.
Okay, so worked here and was a great offensive line coach. And
he recruited Evan Neal.
Yeah. Yeah. How's that working out for y'all?
We'll see. I'm not going to.
It worked out great here.
You see, here's the thing. I'm already falling for the reports that, oh, Evan Neal dazzles at guard and do. You don't dazzle at guard in practice. You can't see. You can't tell anything.
Right, because they're not even wearing pads. The Bears are putting on their on pads today. And so that's why I was like, guys, don't even worry. Like, first 3 days, they're not wearing pads. Who cares what's going on?
I saw an Instagram reel Evan Neal's guard highlights from Alabama. Do you realize how long ago this is?
His freshman year.
Just how hard
that
they
was 2020,
trying.
Right?
Yeah. They want me to buy into the hype so badly. And I'm going to do it. Don't get me wrong. I already am. I'm falling for it.
But I tell you what, this high school is running right behind him, right behind old Bear Fretwell, and he is using all 6'7", 290. And it looks like he is just drilling a hole through the defense as he is carrying defensive linemen into linebackers. Wow. Yeah, we're getting that first down right there. This is a good get, and he plays with good pad level too. Oh, he does not like he's not standing up. Obviously, once he's underneath you, he is standing up. But in the line of scrimmage, you know when you see an offensive lineman who can't get down into a stance, and that guy's actually 6'8", and he's the tallest lineman, but he's not getting down into a stance. No, his head is right in line with all the rest of these other linemen. We like that. This guy is going to be a player, not next year as a freshman, but in 3 years, once you get some muscle on him. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. No, he's got great pad level, great drive off the football. It's hard to tell who you're playing against, young man, but
that's what I'm trying to do right now. I'm trying to figure out how big are these schools he's going up.
Right. Type in Southeast Bullock High School. Pull up their max prep so we can find out what level of Georgia high school football they are. If they're private school or if they're playing 2, 3, 4, 5, I think 6A is top level in Georgia. And anybody that you recruit that comes to Alabama named Bear.
Right. I mean, does it get better? Okay. We are.
You probably need to go to conference standings or something, yeah, or stand to, and it'll say it at the top if you're on a Max Preps page.
Here we go. Football. I think I just go to like their rankings.
Oh, we need Southeast Bullock High School Max Preps. I'm going to find it before you.
Yeah, I bet you will. I'm struggling. It says, Yeah, no, I'm going my way. They are in AAA.
3A. Okay. 3A.
So middle of the pack.
Well, let's do it. That's what I wanted right there. Yeah, 3A. So it's going to be, I mean, not horrible competition, but not in the top level of Georgia. But I see a player who plays with a good pad level, and that's about where you want to start and end this thing if you're an offensive lineman. Height and weight looks good. 6'7", 290. I mean, we're not 6'7", 400 pounds. He's not just sitting there eating Twinkies all day. We saw locally here, Theo, there was a player at Gordo a couple years ago who was massive. He must have been 6'6 or so, 420.
Oh,
450. 390. I mean, I'm exaggerating a little bit with 450, but 380 is not an exaggeration. He could play two snaps at a time. Two snaps of defensive tackle. They need to run off, and he'd take a knee. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 snaps later, he gets back in there for two snaps. And it was just like no stamina at all. But big old boy. All right, so your offensive line class is coming together. If you are the Crimson Tide, you have your man Bear Fretwell. Who else is in this class? Chris Booker is going to play kind of interior offensive lineman. Sam Utu is going to be either a guard or a tackle. So you're looking like you got three good offensive linemen. And you're stacking classes. I mean, is this class as prolific as last year's offensive? No, it's not. You don't have, Jackson Lloyd, Mal Waldrum, Mikey DeBose. Those guys, really, really great class. But I think that you're rounding it out pretty well.
I'd agree with that. And, I look there, and I see a guy who, you have until 2028 to build into your frame. And look, we know this goes for all the linemen, but when you really break it down that way and you think that this guy, that we don't need him for anything for 3 years, how massive is he going to be? How much better is he going to move around in his body? Like, this is just one of those ones that it's just such a high upside signing.
If you're playing with pad level like this, obviously there will be things to teach, but that's like the first thing to drill into an offensive lineman is, where are your hips? Are you firing off the football still low? Are you able to get underneath your counterpart and move them? And yes, this is, as you said, 3A Georgia football. It's not 6A Georgia football, but at least in these 3 minutes of highlights that you can find on his huddle, you can see him firing off the football. Now, I want to turn your attention to Andrew Bone and Bama Online. Got a nice article about him. And got a lot of quotes about him. So I want to give those guys credit. Andrew Bone, Bama Online, they put this out on Friday. So if you're already a subscriber, you're reading this already. Interesting quotes to me. This is Bear Fretwell. I committed on Friday morning after a lot of thinking. Alabama previously had a spot for me without any rev share. It was just a scholarship, nothing more. I was still considering it regardless because it's Alabama. It changed a little bit on rev share because they had some open up, but not to where it had anything to do with the decision. That there's a crazy difference what you can get paid in the NFL compared to college. Alabama was not offering me as much rev share as the other schools. It goes to show you how much love I have for Alabama and how I know they will prepare me for the NFL. I had all these comments after I flipped that I did it for the money, and that's the furthest thing from the truth. You have to pick the place before you even look at the money side. In my opinion, I had been thinking about it, and I wanted to get it over with before my final season. Going back to the top of the article, basically he talks about his flip. I thought about this a lot. I didn't want to flip just because Alabama offered me. I had a lot of family meetings to discuss what was best for me. What would be the best situation for my decision? What college gives me the best chance to get to where I want to be, which is the NFL? Georgia Tech was my best option before Alabama offered me. I knew after Alabama offered, it's where I wanted to be. I love how the players and the team reached out to me before I committed and told me how much they wanted me there. It really felt like a family, and they all showed a lot of love. Fairly interesting comments to me.
That's very direct.
Yes, that part.
Yeah.
That part. That's what's interesting to me. Is not the, of course, every recruit you ever talk to says it's not about the money. Okay, that's normal. But then out and out talking about rev share and talking about didn't have any originally, then they opened some up for me. And you know, you get the early parts of the quotes where he's talking about, I wanted to flip to Alabama, but I didn't want to do it just as soon as they offered me. I wanted to take my time, really think about it, make sure that was what I wanted to do. I just think it's fairly interesting and direct, as you said, that's a great word, to go right into, well, they didn't have any rev share. Now they have a little bit of rev share, but that didn't really sway me. I was already thinking about flipping. The players were calling me. The players were reaching out to me, telling me how much they wanted me there, this, that, and the other. I find this extremely refreshing, Theo.
I do as well. We haven't had any athlete give us just this. Yeah, this is how the thought process works for someone in my position. Like, it's incredible to year, because I can only imagine what Georgia Tech fans are saying, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah, this is the way it lines up. Yeah, obviously, as soon as we offer him rev share, he's coming. It is one. I wonder. Like, I just wonder how hard that job that Courtney Morgan has is.
Balancing knowing the budget.
That, okay, like clearly it was a thing where we offered him July 5th. So we haven't even had him offered that long. Do you think it just became a thing where, okay, he's not flipping his commitment because we've offered him? You think like, okay, get some accountants on this, see how we can find some rev share for him. Like, I wonder how that side of the job went. And I'd be fascinated.
Well, I imagine whenever I find Theo Fernandez an extra NIL deal, that opens up more rev share for me. So hypothetically, whenever I find, just pick a player that's already on the roster that's getting rev share, right? They're all probably getting a piece of the pie. But let's say we get
Caden Proctor signs NIL with Taco Casa,
right?
Some money just got freed up.
Exactly. Okay. And that's kind of the way that's kind of my perception. Now, is perception reality? We don't know. That you got to leave a little bit of room there to be wrong, but that's my perception on how this is working. And so when a premier player gets a good NIL deal, and they'll probably, we can readjust your rev share, probably not to zero, obviously, because that would be upsetting, but an adjustment probably happens, and you're probably encouraging your top line players a lot of the time to go get good NIL deals so that the rev share can go to the lower end players. Now, of course, you're still paying, you know, your Ty Simpson X dollars in rev share, but you probably want to move the rev share money from Ty Simpson's, we got to pay him millions and billions and trillions, to a couple thousand, just to make sure that he still has what he needs. But he's got his NIL deal with camo, you know, this camo company and that camo company and this duck hunting company and that. So but I think that's how it works. Is it accurate? Leave me a little room to be wrong. But that's kind of my perception on how this is working. And so he saw back to Bear Fretwell. He says, they didn't have a rev share offer. It was just a scholarship. Well, just a scholarship is still worth a lot of, because of the Alston money, I think it's worth about $40,000. So you're at least getting that with the Alston money. And then you got, you know, room and board and food and education and all that stuff. Great. So it is a very a valuable offer, an extremely valuable offer, because I'm still paying student loans off to this day. And those gentlemen will not be. So it's a valuable offer. But then once you're able to, a couple weeks later, be like, hey, we ended up finding 10K, an extra 10, an extra 20, an extra 5, an extra whatever the number is, even whatever the number is, you spread it over the course of a year. It probably isn't a ton of money, but, you know, I tend to have my crimson colored glasses on and believe Bear Fretwell and say, oh, when they offered me, I thought I wanted to flip right then and there. I thought I needed to take a couple of weeks to make sure. And then in that couple of weeks, they also came back and gave me some rev share. Part of it's negotiation, right? You know, you want to, go to a company, you know, you want to take a job with the company, but you don't want to give away your position right off the bat, right? Mm-hmm. If they're offering, if company's offering me $50,000 and I want to go there and I'm like, well, 50 is good, but I think I can get 75. I think I can get 80. I think I can get 90. You hold out a week or two, make sure it's the right situation and have them come back and show you how much they really want you. I think there's a little bit of negotiation at play. I do think he wanted to be here, but I also think there's a little bit of how smart can we play this?
Well, I do. The one thing that sounded very, like, I really do think that NFL thing was a huge factor. And that's the only reason why. It's like, I know Florida State is another school that heavily, heavily is pursuing him. For all we know, he's going to go down and take a visit in Tallahassee. Like, with, I mean, that's just the nature of how this
draft
works.
How many draft picks off the top of your head did Georgia Tech have in this past draft? Do you know?
I have no clue.
Guess.
One.
One is close. It's two. They had Jackson Hall as tight end in the fifth round. They had Zeke Biggers in the seventh round. Zeke Biggers looks like it just says 6'5", 321. So is that defensive lineman or an offensive lineman? It does not say right there. But then you go 2024, no draft picks. 2023, one draft pick. Keon White, edge rusher. 2022, one draft pick. Tariq Carpenter, linebacker. 2021, two draft picks. Jalen Camp and Presley Harvin. 2020, one draft pick. And then, you got to skip 3 years down to 2017 to get Harrison Butker in the seventh round. Like, your highest round for draft pick, I'm sorry, Georgia Tech, this is not talking mess about you. You had Keon White, second round pick in 2023, is your highest draft pick in really since 2017. Adam Gustas is a second round draft pick in 2016 as well. So you went from 2015 to today, 10 years of draft classes and 2 second round picks.
If Alabama only has two guys taken in the first two rounds, it's a letdown. That's like a disappointing year. Like, weak Alabama class this year. Wow. But yeah, no, absolutely. And obviously, anyone can flip. We have no guarantee that this guy or any of the guys that we have brought in are going to actually make it to campus. We have no idea. So it almost reaches a certain point where we can sit back and we can talk about these guys. It's almost like until they're in Tuscaloosa, doesn't even matter. Like, I don't know. Is that too dark, or is that a nihilistic take?
What, the maybe they don't matter?
Yeah.
Until they're signed?
I mean, I kind of feel like that.
I mean, yeah, because you can flip anywhere you want.
Anyone.
Until December. But we still have to talk about it.
Oh, no, absolutely. Don't get me wrong. I get excited for the future.
He can flip back to Georgia Tech. He can flip over to Florida State, for sure.
He can get offered by anyone.
But, I mean, you still got to talk about it.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd agree with that.
All right, so wrapping up this Jackson Fretwell conversation, you've got 21 commits now for the Crimson Tide. You are up to number 4 in the 24/7 composite rankings as a class. And you're still holding out for Tank Jones. We'll see if Tank Jones will jump on board.
He hasn't announced a date yet, has he?
No. He's going to take the – I bet you he takes it all the way to signing day.
I mean, that's how you stand out nowadays. You stand out by signing on what used to be the biggest day in the year.
Oh, I think he takes it to December because the December signing date.
No, yeah, but it's almost in addition to maybe he hasn't made his decision yet. That's how you get so many more eyes on you then, because everyone else has made their decision.
That, and you come in with late money.
Right, yeah. Every last penny that hasn't been spent. That's a good point, too.
All right, Theo, let's take a pivot here because camp is opening up on Wednesday. Before we do, we want to remind you we're live in the Derek Daniels State Farm Studios. You can call Derek today for all of your insurance needs, 205-758-3391. Like a good neighbor, Derek Daniel is there upstairs today waiting to take your phone call. I know he has two positions open in his office if you need a job. If you're looking for a job in the insurance realm, you want to be an insurance producer or just manage some of these accounts that he has already got, there are two positions available upstairs. So he would love to talk to you, send your resume. Derek Daniel, 205-758-3391. We are right off of McFarland Boulevard, so we're right basically, we're really, I mean, you can be anywhere in town in 10 minutes. Right past the Tiger Rock and the Rustic Rehab to the left, you can find Derek and his crew. They're upstairs and they've got offices waiting for you to fill them if you need a job, but they also would love to talk to you about your home, life, auto insurance needs. Call him today and you can get you a quick quote. I will be calling him later in the week as I'll be swapping cars. I'll be upgrading for the month of August, and probably this car will last me another 15 years as the car that's outside has lasted me 15 years. Thankfully, praise the Lord. Absolutely praise the Lord on that. But I'll be calling him today, probably later in the week, to update my car insurance, and that won't take me very long. It'll be a very quick and easy process. He'll just run through some numbers, and he'll say, yeah, Joe, we got you covered, got the insurance swapped on over to the new vehicle. It's very, very easy. He definitely helped me out about a week ago with a massive home issue, because my homeowner's insurance is with Derek. He definitely helped me out with a massive issue around the home, and got me back online, and everything is hunky-dory on the home front. So call Derek today at 205-758-3391. Like a good neighbor, Derek Daniel and State Farm is there.
This Black Friday, get 6 months free when you move your WordPress sites to Kinsta. Enjoy faster load times, no stress when traffic spikes, and hosting you can actually count on. We're G2's number one rated host for WordPress for a reason. Visit kinsta.com/bf. That's kinsta.com/bf. Don't miss out. Offer ends December 2nd.
All right, Theo, it is camp on Wednesday. We're going to be going over to the facility fairly soon. Tomorrow, we're going to have a short little meeting to get the ground rules up and to make sure that nobody is violating the Alabama Athletics wishes this season. So we got to get those all clear on Tuesday. And then I think, look, we're still waiting on a schedule, but I'm betting that we're going to have a Kalen DeBoer press conference on Wednesday after the first day of camp. He's going to come off sweaty. We're going to be in the facility. I'm betting that because of that, Mason and I will be recording extra early on Wednesday, but that's okay. That's good. That's a privilege, honestly. So we'll be recording extra early on Wednesday is my guess, and then we'll be heading over to the facility to hear from Kalen DeBoer, and he's going to say, they look great today. Everybody looked great today. Everybody working hard. Everybody excited. We're just excited for the year. Blah, 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 blah. Roll Tide football. Theo Fernandez, I have one question that we can talk about, but I'll ask you. I'll just go to you. We've done this but many times already this summer. Mm-hmm. So it's finally time. What's the one thing you're trying to learn? What's the one thing you're trying to – you're going into camp. We got three-ish weeks, four-ish weeks until Alabama heads down to Florida State, and they're going to spread these 4 weeks. Is what, 15, 20 practices across the 4 weeks. What are you trying to learn about the Crimson Tide during fall camp?
You see, obviously, at the end of the day, there's so much that we won't know until we actually see them on the field in Tallahassee. I am there. I'm still very excited, and I have been for a while, about who's going to take that last guard spot.
Hanamanagunda, Hanamanagunda, we translate for you.
I think that's a fascinating position battle. You know, I think that the sense I got from media days, and especially from hearing everything Proctor had to say, was it very much is up in the air. And look, I mean, they've said that. I'm blanking on the name of the award, Joe. The award,
Joe Moore.
Joe Moore, yeah. Like, they've said that's the goal. we know what they're shooting for. You need a cohesive unit there, and I'm fascinated to see how that race evolves. And, you know, I'm less interested in the quarterbacks, as we've talked about.
But we got to make the quarterbacks interesting. So I, unless you have more on the guards, I do have my one question for the show right here.
Let's hear it.
I read this morning, Ty Simpson playing with his fourth offensive coordinator in 4 years. And I thought, that's not really fair. That's not right. I mean, yes, Nick Sheridan is not the offensive coordinator this year. But the system, the terminology, the verbiage is all the same from last year. Is that fair? Is Ryan Grubb, technically new to the system, new to Ty Simpson? I mean, yes, he's new to Ty Simpson specifically as far as how they're going to work together and, you know, their time spent together on and off the field and decision making. But the program, the system, the verbiage is all the same. We're using the same playbook. We are hitting the same reads, the same checks, or we're going through the same processes as we were last season. What do you make of going through multiple different offensive coordinators here at the Capstone? Nick Sheridan last year, Ryan Grubb this year. You got Tommy Rees the year before that. Was it Bill O'Brien? Yes, Bill O'Brien the year before that. So four different offensive coordinators for Ty Simpson. Is that a wrinkle? Or is that even worth talking about? Because I saw and I thought you're at the bottom. This person, I said in my head, you're at the bottom of your creativity. Well, if this is what we're doing,
yeah, I think you're just looking for clicks at that point. I mean, yeah, would it be cool?
And I'll admit, I'm at the bottom of my creativity well as well at the end of the summer. We're right here. We need camp to happen.
So we're empty. We're eagerly awaiting this to start in a couple of days. But no, I don't think it's a huge deal at all. I think, first of all, I think it matters much more in the NFL than college. I think, like they talk, Marcus Mariota, 5 coordinators in 5 seasons. That's something that very, very clearly hindered his development. Every year at the beginning of the season, he'd show a ton of talent, but there was a lot that would have went differently if he'd had some consistency. I don't think Ty Simpson is hindered at all. I don't think anyone on this offense is, especially when you see that it's just Sheridan to Grubb. Like, this is the most seamless transition into a new coordinator that you can really possibly have. When's the last time you've seen an offensive coordinator stay with the team, basically? Just accept a demotion to stay.
Mm-hmm.
And he's specifically working with the quarterbacks. Like, you
cannot, that's the other part. Keep going. Yeah,
you cannot have it any better than this transition. I'm not worried at all. It's not something that I even think needs to be brought up.
Right. I saw that, and I thought, and I don't want to, like, just poo-poo on this other media person, and that's why I'm not even saying their name.
Yeah.
But I thought to myself, that's not even a good narrative. That's not even a fair, because Grubb is coming in and basically taking the foundation that Sheridan and Jamarcus Shepherd and DeBoer laid last year, and he's adding a story onto the house, adding another story onto the building, basically. Or he's going back through. Honestly, what he's probably doing is going through the foundation and saying, oh, there's some cracks in these foundations. Y'all did pretty good last year. Let's get a little, let's make sure there's no leaks down into the no water damage down in this foundation. I'll go through with my, you know, concrete, mixer, and we'll make sure that these cracks get filled, and so that the foundation is really solid and we can build another story onto the house, this offensive house that started off pretty, I thought it started off fairly well last year, but I think that you didn't have enough layers last year. And so by the time you're up at Tennessee and their scouting department is up on what you're doing, Jalen Milroe looks like, oh, lost right there. Basically, I think the defensive coordinator started to box you in and started to limit what you could do because you were only limited with what you could do in the first place. But Ryan Grubb is going to look at this and say, all right, Ty, what'd you like last year? Obviously, he didn't play on the field, but what are some concepts? Let's start here, and let's start building out what we can do. And, hey, man, here's everything we've done at Washington, and Fresno State, Indiana, what we've done back. Is, you know, I think that
stuff he learned at the Seahawks.
Yeah.
Bringing some of that in, that's massive.
I don't think that this is a fourth offensive coordinator in 4 years. I think this is just a fourth coach, definitely. I mean, a fourth play caller. We'll say that. It's definitely a fourth play caller in 4 years. But as far as systematically, it is his second year in the same system. I mean, yes, we got to acknowledge from Bill O'Brien to Tommy Rees to Nick Sheridan, that's three different systems in 3 years. But now you are three different systems in 3 years, same system for 2 years in a row. All the verbiage is going to be the same, protections. And he's going to have times where he's like, well, Coach Sheridan told me to do X. And he's going to be like, that's cool, but we want you to do Y. And maybe consider doing Z instead. When you see this look, we're going to go A, B, C. And I think that, yeah, I just saw that this morning. I thought that's just not a very good, that's just not a very, very meaty subject to me. I think that Ryan Grubb is going to come in and he's going to work with Sheridan. Obviously, we heard from DeBoer all at SEC Media Days that they were working well together, that they've been working well together. Same thing in spring, that everything's fine and dandy. I don't think this is really an issue at all. And so you're going into fall camp. That's not my big question. What is my big question? My big question, I like what Hunter did this morning on BamaCentral.com. The DB room is super strong. So from a point of from a perspective of strength, it is how does it shake out beyond your first four? And you got to have a fifth, right? We are a 4-2-5. You're looking at Damani and Zabian on your, you know, field and boundary corners, and you're looking at Bray Hubbard and Keon Sabb as your two, you know, your two safeties. Who's playing Husky? That's my number one really question mark, because I think, and not from a position of weakness, from a position of strength. Is it Cam Calhoun? Is it Deshaun Jones? I think Deshaun probably has a small edge over Calhoun right there. Is it Zay Mincy? I think Zay Mincy has a strong case to play that. I think Red Morgan has a strong case to play that. I think you're looking at a defensive back room that is just salivating over itself to get on the field, and you're looking at Mo Linguist thinking, how the heck are you going to keep all these guys happy? Because you have a really, really deep talent in your corner. You got plugged right down there, sir, if you need it.
Perfect.
You're looking at a cornerback and a defensive back room that is just chock full of talent. Like, there's a big question for me. Who's playing Husky? How is that shaking out? And then who's the next player off the bench? Because last year we saw, and I loved it, last year we saw the defensive backfield just in heavy rotation throughout the entire year. And I think you will see rotation. I mean, you have to, really. Keep these guys fresh. If you've been listening to this show for any length of time, you probably know one of my premier complaints with Coach Saban was his lack of rotation. And a lot of that was due to trust, was, hey, you haven't earned it yet. I think that when you've been recruiting the way that Alabama has been recruiting for the last two decades, that rotation should be one of your primary ways to attack an opponent, because, hey, we're deeper. We're five deep at a position that you're two deep in, and we're at the end of the fourth quarter. Our guys are still fresh because we've been rotating the whole time. And, yeah, you're going to have freshman mistakes like you did some last year, but when the rotation is the theme, you can wear down another your opponents. Now, you're not really going to see that with the offensive line, but every other position, especially wide receiver, running back, defensive back, linebacker, I think that you really need to be throwing bodies out there all the time and just wearing teams out. So defensive back is a question for me, not from a position of weakness, not at all, from a position of strength, from, man, who's going to get on the field next to Bray and Keon? In that, is it going to be, I mean, is Drake Kirkpatrick Jr. going to get on the field at Husky, or is he going to be behind Keon Sabb, Bray Hubbard, and working in as a spell for those two? I think he will work in as a spell, but like the defensive back is a little question for me, just from a position of strength. And then you have really, we've talked inside linebacker too long. You bring up right guard. Excuse me, left guard. So let's go back to that. Do you think Cam Dewberry is going to end up getting that position, or is it going to be Olas and Geno going back and forth? Because I think Olas has a real case to take it and take it and have it. How do you think that ends up shaking out at left guard, right next to Caden Proctor?
Well, I really do think that it is the closest, least decided.
Yeah,
I don't even think it's purely close. I mean, I think that if I was a betting man, if I was throwing money on this,
$100, you're riding Geno, Cam, or Olas Olenin.
I think I'm writing Olas down, but I also think that I have very little confidence. You know, I'm probably losing that money.
You're getting good odds on all three because they're all just in the same spot.
And I'm fascinated to hear, okay, what's Coach Kapilovich going to say? What are the linemen that we get to talk to going to say? Just to bore himself. Like, I think that'll be such a fun race to watch unfold.
I think that's the biggest race that you have. I think you nailed it right there. That's the biggest starting spot to fill right now. What's your confidence in Wilkin? That's the other offensive line spot, because I think your confidence in the first three, in Caden at left tackle, in Parker at center, and at Jaden at right guard, should be at a, well, I'll just say for me, the three of those combined, my confidence in those three is at an 8.8 out of 10. Rate your confidence in those three collectively, and then we'll talk about Wilkin.
All right, well, Wilkin obviously is a much bigger, much more important job. I mean,
you didn't follow the instructions. Rate your confidence in the collective three of Caden, Parker, and Jaden, right?
Okay.
Left tackle, center, and right guard. You've got those three already locked in. What's your confidence out of 10? Those three guys, I'm saying 8.8 is my confidence going into the year with those three guys.
You see, I'd go like a 9-1.
Woo!
I'm confident.
Love it.
I'm confident.
I'm not here to talk you out of it. Now going to Wilkin, a right tackle. Specifically just the right tackle.
Just right tackle. He's out on an island.
I got my number in my head.
Go 7 flat.
Woo! Okay, good. All right, that's right in my range. I was thinking 6-7 or 7-3. 7.3 is where I'm going to land for my confidence in Wilkin. Yeah. I think that can jump up pretty quick. I mean, if you see him go out there against Florida State and just lock it down, I will move it into that eight range pretty fast. You got problems though. If he's got a problem, you really have problems if your left guard and right tackle are an issue. Like, this offensive line has a lot of hype going into it, but those two, like, you're always going to have turnover. So, like, let's calm down about big problems. But, like, if left guard and right tackle become below average players, then it really, I'm sorry, it doesn't matter how confident you are in Parker and in Jaden Roberts and in Caden Proctor. Those three guys can be at an 8.8, at a 9.1. And if you've got two holes that are... Right, like, look, you know how a sieve works.
It's a very good analogy.
The bowl looks really solid, but if the bowl has two holes in it, then it's not holding any damn water. Like, that can become a real problem quickly.
I think if you asked me how Wilkin Formby's season would go,
yeah,
I'd tell you I think he'll have a solid year. But I think that you have to at least be open to the idea that we know what we saw from them. Mm-hmm. We know what we saw on the field last year. Mm-hmm. We watched what happened in certain moments. You have to come in knowing that you cannot I think you'd be crazy to have full confidence in him. I think you should.
At this point, in July.
You should absolutely expect him. Yeah, he's had a whole year coming in knowing this is his job. A lot of time to improve. A lot of time to develop with the rest of that unit. You got... The floor is pretty low. That's how I'd put it.
I think if he comes out against Florida State and has a not so hot game, you're going to see people jump off ship real fast.
Yeah,
I think people want it to happen. The Alabama fan base wants it to happen for him, just because, you know, hometown guy and all everything. Like he's said and done all the right things since the poor performances. And I think he does want it just as bad as anybody else. But if you see him have a struggle bus down there in Tallahassee, let's see. Look at these edge rushers. Look up. How do we say this name? Deontay, D-E-A-N-T-E, McCray, playing edge for Florida State, and James Williams. You got two guys that transfers in for Florida State playing on the edge. You got Elijah Herring also playing weak side linebacker, who's probably going to be coming up your neck a little bit. If those guys get after Wilkin, you're going to see the Alabama fan base jump off ship real fast. I think that they're on a knife edge with Wilkin. I think that they're on a knife edge wanting to go into the confident direction, wanting to go into, oh, he's our guy. He's been here, done it the right way. Kept Caden Proctor in Tuscaloosa. Great relationships, obviously Northridge High School. And we all love Taco Casa. But like, if he ends up having a struggling day in Tallahassee, I just think it's such a huge game for Wilkin.
I mean, this guy McCray looks legit. I mean, 6'4", 275. Western Kentucky transfer, so he's gone up against us before.
Western Kentucky transfer, and then James Williams came from Nebraska. Came from the Iowa Central Community College to Nebraska. He had a... five sacks last year, looks like, for Nebraska. Playing Jack linebacker, defensive end Jack linebacker. So you got some good, decent players. Deontay McCray, let's see what your little stat line says, sir. By way of Western Kentucky, 2.5 sacks last year, 3 tackles for a loss. So not as prolific. From Jacksonville, Florida. As you said, it's 6'4", 274. What are you, James? James Williams, 6 foot. Oh, is that 6'6"? Wow.
Yeah,
he's tall guy. Gonna be interesting matchups for Wilkin in that first week. I think that first week is super for Wilkin, just from a confidence standpoint. If he comes out and struggles, you're going to have the yang-yangs online. And look, I think Wilkin has maybe taken steps in that department, not reading the online comments. That's what he said late in the spring, kind of getting over some of that.
It was so loud. You could not avoid it at times last year.
Too loud.
Yeah.
Is what it is. You got to remember, Theo, like the Alabama fan base needs to remember that these are children. Not to hold them to a high standard. That's not my angle here. Hold them to a high standard. Expect greatness. Expect a really high level play. But they're children. And so it's my take that, and look, my Chicago Bears are not children. They're professionals. But I think the exact same thing with the Bears. As soon as a Bear does poorly, all the fan base, he sucks. He's the worst. He sucks. Get him off the team. Cut him. Replace him. Get the backup in there. We need somebody else. Trade him. And I think to myself, what if he heard instead, come on, guy, you can do it. Come on, buddy. We believe in you. I know you can play better. You're going to play better next week. And like, yes, that's not how fans think. I get that. But like, especially with college kids, what if instead of Wilkin, hey, you stink, get off the team, blah, 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 man, just blah. What if instead it was, man, I know you worked really hard this past week. You can get it next week, man. We believe in you. Jalen needs you last year. Ty needs you this year. The whole team's counting on you. We're counting on you. We believe in you. Like, you speak life into these players instead of death into these players. Like, you get – are you familiar with how – the experiment with plants go? If you talk to your tree, you talk to your little flower. Yeah, you've probably never done this. In elementary school, a common scientific experiment is to have two different flowers, two different bushes, two different, you know, name your plant, whatever it is, and to have your elementary students go up to that plant and be, you're so pretty, you're going to grow so tall, you're going to be such a strong plant, you're going to give life, you're creating so much oxygen for this classroom, you know. And that flower grows bigger and stronger than the flower that you talk to. You're ugly. You stink. Nobody likes you. Nobody would put you in their garden. You know, like, it's a very common experiment, and it's like, it
There's
worked.
There's no way this is real.
Google it.
There's no way my plants are listening to me.
You need to do some Google here and basically understand the way that you speak to someone is impactful, and it translates to your dog. It definitely translates to my dog. When I'm speaking nice to my dog, she's much better behaved. When I'm getting if I dog cuss the mess out of my dog, she is off in the corner crying and sad, but it doesn't do anything for her behavior. Like, as far as positive reinforcement. Positive reinforcement is such a big thing. Look it up, elementary plants.
I'm not buying this.
Well, you're not Googling it either.
I'm Googling it right now.
Elementary plant experiment, children talking life into, talking nice versus talk, compliments versus criticism. Those are some Google terms for you to look up. Yeah. But I believe, I fully believe in that. And so, like, every time I'm at a Bears game, and the Bears fans start booing around me, it's like, man, I want to boo right with you. And sometimes I do. I'll be honest. Sometimes I do, because at some point, when you are at the points where you were last year, where the coaching staff is so inept that nothing is working, you just got to send a message to ownership. But, like, these are college kids.
I think your argument would have worked a lot better 5 years ago here.
Sure, because the NIL has made fans crazy, crazier, but crazier.
It's like, you want to have that culture of, yeah, this is college football, but when you have players leaving every year to go chase money, or because they got a better offer somewhere, it's a lot harder for all of us to view them as pros. And I don't know, you see this Yankees hat on. Anthony Volpe is really, really starting to annoy me sometimes. I'm trying to stay supportive. I always try to. Support my players. Yeah, Evan Neal, like, it's okay that you're letting in sacks every game. Like, I'll try to root.
It's different for the pros.
But, yeah, just, I think I'm much more, even with how college football has changed, I think I'm much more willing to be supportive of the college guys still. But I also understand why fans are going to not have that mentality. Like, I understand that, yeah, when you've had everything flip and nothing's the same in college sports, and the school is even going out and asking you, yeah, not that they weren't asking you for money before, but now they're specifically saying, yeah, give us your money so we can go get us some players. I understand it.
Look up IKEA, the IKEA study. A couple years ago, IKEA, this is from Medium, IKEA conducted a school experiment in which they verbally bullied a plant and complimented another. This experiment was conducted in order to show students the drastic effects of bullying. While it was unclear at first whether anything would happen, the visual evidence after 30 days of compliments versus insults spoke for themselves. The plant that was complimented was thriving. It looked beautiful and healthy. The plant that was bullied started to droop. It seemed to give up on life.
I hope those kids at least got some free Swedish meatballs after being forced to talk to plans for 30 days. I'm not buying it. You can give me all the studies you want.
So that's what we need to adopt here. If Wilkin has a struggle bus day, it's, hey, man, if the right guard, if left guard has a struggle bus day, if Caden Proctor has a struggle, if Ty Simpson has a struggle, like, it doesn't matter who it is. It really doesn't matter who it is. Don't go online and start nyan-nyan about you need to get out of here. You should transfer out of here. You're not worth your scholarship, blah, blah, blah. Like, they're kids. And like, yeah, sure, it's like, Joe, get harder, be less sensitive, you know, you're an emotional SOB. But like, it's not, I mean, yes, it is about the emotions, but it's about the results as well. Like, does it sound counterintuitive? Yeah. Do you want to yell at him and say, you suck, Billy? Like, I get that. I totally get that. But like, you want the results on the other end. And it's like, okay, you got to push through maybe a hard game or a bad performance. And so like, we've gone way off the rails here, but I think that last year, what happened to Wilkin, I mean, take it back. You probably don't remember this name. Do you remember Cade Foster?
I do not.
Okay, Cade Foster was a kicker. 9, 10, 11, 12, right in that range. Missed some kicks against LA. Yeah, he was the 2011, the game of the century. Alabama loses 9-6 right here in Tuscaloosa.
Oh, yeah, I've heard
about
that.
And fella missed like 3 50-yarders, like three like long bombs. And he got, oh, Cade Foster, you should go kill yourself, blah, blah, blah. You should go jump off a bridge. And it's like he got legitimate death threats. Same thing a couple years, 2 years ago. Seth McLaughlin. Bad snaps galore, and it's all you get online is you can't snap, you stink, you're the worst, go transfer out. And it's like, it gets to a point where that's all you're saying. Now, of course, the answer is, young fella, get offline, young fella, turn your Twitter off, yeah. Young fella, don't get on social media. But at some point, it's hard to ignore. And so you're reading it, you're seeing it, you're, man, I only opened my phone up for 2 seconds, and the first 5 comments were, you stink, you stink, you stink. And it's like, well, I closed my phone out in 10 seconds, but I saw 8 comments that said I stink. Man, maybe I stink.
Nah, I mean, and you saw how prevalent it was. You saw even the Instagram post where they posted the final scores, you'd see,
oh,
get him off the field. Like, we never want to see him out there. I understand. There genuinely was no getting away from it.
So I think Wilkin is going to be better this year, but I think the fan base is on a knife edge to where if you play poorly against Florida State, it's going to be right back to that nyan, 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 and not the, instead of, well, next week you're playing ULM. We can get better. We got a lot of time to get better. Big runway to get better. So I'm definitely, I'm at an 8.8 with those other three.
Yeah, like, I think you have to come in with full confidence
in the three.
I see no reason to not have absolute confidence. Like, I think I even could have gone, I don't know, about higher than 9.1, because that's pretty high.
Sure,
but. Is there any, does any team in the country have a group of three linemen that they can trust more than we can trust those three?
No.
Not saying the best three linemen in the country.
No.
I'm saying from the perspective of going out and just, you can trust these guys.
But are you more confident? I agree with you. Are you more confident in Wilkin? You said 7-0, and I said 7-3. Are you more confident in Wilkin or who's playing left guard? Because to me,
I'm more confident in left guard.
Oh, I'm more confident in Wilkin.
Really?
I think your left guard. I'm at 7-3 with Wilkin. I'm at 6.6. That's where I'm at. I'm at 6.2. I'm at 6.3 with who's playing left guard. Is it Olas? Is it Geno? Is it Cam Dewberry? Or is it mystery lineman XYZ? Like, that's where I'm at. Like, I think that your left guard position is a huge question.
I feel really good personally about left guard because Dewberry started last year. Dewberry played significant reps. Olas, you know, if Olas wins the job,
We'll be flying Swedish flags.
No, as we should.
Finland or Sweden? I think it's Sweden.
Don't ask me to do geography this early. I think I just like the fact that there's a competition that we know will get the best out there. I mean, even Vandermark showed
Finland,
flashes.
Finland.
Okay. It's blue and yellow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Talked about Sweden, IKEA, and Finland. It's really Scandinavian in here. I just think that...
No, their flag is actually a blue cross on a white flag.
I thought it was a yellow cross.
That's Sweden.
That is Sweden. Okay. Yeah. Gotta get American. We don't know our geography.
Silly Americans. It's okay. We're America first on this show.
Yes, we are. Roll Tide. I think that I also feel better about that guard position because you're playing right between Parker and Caden.
Yeah.
I think
that's fair. That's fair.
You know, it's almost like there's a lot more potential for things to go wrong for Wilkin. Is almost the way I put it. You know, and that's like it has absolutely disastrous potential out on that island, out on that right side. Whereas we can definitely mitigate the damage a little more at that other open position. I think it's close. I'd say it's maybe like a 7-2 on that left guard.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel good just the competition. And look, we've all seen that clip of Caden just waving the guy off and like getting in-play adjustments and with how solid, rock solid Parker's positioning in the middle is. Like, I just feel good about it.
Well, Theo, it starts on Wednesday.
Yes, it does.
Well, I believe the schedule that's going to come out today is going to have us having a press conference with Coach DeBoer on Wednesday. If it's not Wednesday, we're definitely talking to him Thursday. So we'll have a press conference with Coach DeBoer this week. We might have two, actually. We'll find out fairly soon when they send out a media schedule exactly what that's going to look like. And you'll be able to follow all the coverage at BamaCentral.com. We are going to be covering the Crimson Tide all throughout fall camp. You got Hunter DeCiver, myself, Will Miller, Theo Fernandez. Excuse me.
Bless you, Drew.
Katie Windham, when she returns from Parts Unknown from her honeymoon. So we had a lot of fun at the Windham and the Tsoukalos. Excuse me. It should be the Tsoukalos wedding because she is giving up the last name. Right. And so we had a lot of fun there on Saturday. I want to thank them for having me. Yep, absolutely. And we're excited for the season, Theo. I'm going to give you a chance right here to give you a last word if you got any thoughts going into the week because it's going to be a big one. It's going to be a big one, and we'll talk to you on Monday. So any last thoughts going into camp or off-the-wall thoughts, anything that you want to get into as we get out of here?
Now, we've done a lot of talking today. I wouldn't want to hear me say anything else after everything. I will say, next time we're in here, next Monday when I'm back.
Whew! Pads.
Pads. It's also an end of golf season over in Auburn. It's August 1st. It's getting real.
Yes, it is. Oh, man. How many rounds of golf is Hugh going to play on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday after practice? But he's going to probably try to play, two today? What, that's 36 holes today, 36 tomorrow, and then 18 on Wednesday?
You got to get at least 72 in by the end of the month. I think that's what you got to. But I don't know. And he's dedicated. I feel like he can up those numbers.
Absolutely. So we will talk to you tomorrow on the Joe Gaither Show. We appreciate everybody who has watched us on the YouTube channel, listen to us on their favorite podcast platform, share it out with a friend, with an enemy. We're going to have a lot of fun as we go into the 2025 football season. We will talk to you tomorrow right here on the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central and BamaCentral.com.
Thanks for joining us on today's edition of the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central. Keep up with Joe on all his social media pages at JoeGaither6. Subscribe, rate, and review the show on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, and be sure to read us daily at BamaCentral.com.